Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Angela Cerbi, Fred Film Radio, still in Torino, still at the Torino Film Festival, and still with Fedra Fateh. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Angelo.
We are here for our second meeting, and we are talking about the Isabelle Rossellini Award, the Stella della Mole Award. It's the first time that the festival gives out such an award, and the festival, you too as well, chose as a recipient Isabelle Rossellini. Why that?
We chose Isabella Rossellini because as we conceived of this award, I actually read about the Mole Antoninalla and I saw the 12-point star and I thought it's so interesting that here is a design feature that was made, let's say, 60 years ago, and it is original, universal, and timeless. So as I was trying to get inspiration to describe what is the nature of this award, I looked at the actual star and I came up with that idea. And then in light of the overall themes that we're celebrating this year at the Torino Film Festival in particular, this idea of gender equality and social justice, we didn't want to just give the prize to some beautiful, iconic filmmaker. We wanted to celebrate and shine a light on someone who embodies the values that we are trying to promote. So this is how we picked Isabella Rossellini, because she is obviously an icon. She's recognized all over the world. But she has had a career path that is different from the typical Hollywood star. This is why we picked her.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, the motivation of this award is given to artists who can contribute in an original, universal, and timeless way to film culture. And actually, she did, because she was, as you said, not like the gorgeous woman doing tons of films. She didn't make so many movies, but they were very well picked, and each one with a reason. So how did you build up this tribute? Because this award would be followed, paired with a tribute that is going to be online on the YouTube channel of the festival on Friday 27th. So how is this tribute built up?
In the same spirit of doing things in an innovative way, and because, again, I don't come from a film background, thankfully the festival gave me the space to look at it with fresh eyes. I'll refer you to one of my favorite books called Range. It's by David Epstein. And the idea of the book is that sometimes the generalist is better than the specialist at solving a problem, because a specialist is so deep in the models and the theses of the particular area of expertise that they can't think outside the box, so to speak. But a generalist draws on much more diverse sources. So because I'm not trapped by the norms of the film industry, and I'm not worrying about what all the other famous people in cinema have done when they've made a tribute, I use my own intuition and my own judgment as someone who is both a lawyer, a businesswoman, a creative consultant, an author, and also an artist of sorts. So I thought I didn't want to do what is typical when they do some sort of lifetime achievement award where we just take clips of her past.
Yeah.
And again, I think when you look at the choices that Isabelle Rossellini has made, she's moved very far away from Blue Velvet. So I think, again, the importance of looking at her work with fresh eyes and her choices led me to the insight that she spent the last 10, 15 years focusing on very different themes. So evolutionary biology, the behavior of animals, these kinds of very artisanal productions that look very much like, you know, arts and crafts that you do when you're in school, and very bold and sort of defying the narrow models that the film industry offers to women, especially women of her age. So I wanted to recognize that and not just take pictures of her pretty past and regurgitate those views. So you'll see this year in the tribute that it's clearly done in a way that, let's call it, the typical festival wouldn't do it.
When we did our other talk the other day, we talked a lot about women, about beauty, about how beauty is a pressure on women normally. Isabella Rossini is an example of beauty that stands by her own, because she is a beautiful woman. She was never like victim or slave to her own beauty, even if she chose some films where beauty was important, because Death Becomes Her, for example, she was playing the most beautiful, ageless woman, like an icon, an idol maybe. How do you think that she managed to move through this and survive? Because this is basically it.
I think what we see in her work from the interesting film that she did with Guy Maddin, My Father, My Dad is 100 Years Old, as well as The Green Porno, you see that when she's not being asked to play a role in a film conceived by somebody else that only imagines her in some sort of, you know, femme fatale role, look at the choices that she's made. So in the movie that My Dad is 100 Years Old, she plays everybody. She plays Charlie Chaplin. She plays Fellini. She plays Alfred Hitchcock. And I thought that was very insightful. And I actually asked Guy Maddin about it, that I've never seen an artist like her, instead of choosing to call her cool best friends and have them play in the film with her, which she could have, she did all the roles herself. And again, in the context of the gender equality conversation, it tells me that she's trying to say, and again, this is my interpretation, that she's saying, you know, I can do all of these roles. I can be Charlie Chaplin. I can be Fellini. I can be Alfred Hitchcock. And that's a very bold and sophisticated statement. When you then look at Green Porno, again, she doesn't call her famous, interesting friends who could have played along with her. She is the bee. She's the hamster. She's the shrimp. She's the butterfly. And then she takes on very playful, provocative, sexually charged roles, which for me, it's kind of the antithesis of what we see in Hollywood on Netflix, where women are really confined to these narrow roles. So I think her work is saying that she wants to be free to say and do whatever inspires her. And the only way that she can have that freedom is if she does the work herself and with her independent filmmaker friends like Guy Maddin.
And more, she's not only a film actress, she's a theater actress, she writes. So she's a very complete artist. And she's, you know, the thing that's really weird is that not everyone knows that she is so complete as an artist. Everybody thinks of her as an actress she's not doing that much anymore. She's a little bit on her retirement age, or like artistically speaking, but instead she's really complex and really productive in many fields. So this maybe is another reason why the festival chose her, because she was exactly the embodiment of what the award was like, isn't it?
Yes. Again, you know, when we decided to give her the award, I would say that we chose her as an artist, not as a film star, because, she's an actress, she's a director, she's a theater producer. And I think in the true sense of the word artist, you can see an artist is someone who expresses their creativity in all sorts of dimensions. There were two common themes when we interviewed her very special friends, which we'll talk about in a minute. Yeah. One was that they said that she is someone who is fearless and creative, and that she's always creating. So when you see the work that she's done in Green Porno, it's a lot more demanding than showing up on a fancy, set where someone has done everything and all you have to do is, read your lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And probably she sounds to be like a very free and realized woman, that she doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. So maybe the real freedom is that for her, that she's not there to demonstrate that she can do stuff. She just does stuff because she wants to do it, and that's it. So maybe I think that this is the...
You've said the exact words that her closest friends have said about her, that she's free. But the point is that, you know, there's been a lot of conversation over the years when you look at mainstream films. You know, if there's a 60-year-old, you know, protagonist in the film, he's normally having a love story with a woman who's 30 or a woman who's, you know, some 20 years under her. And then, I don't know, out of 100 movies where that's the standard, it's the older gray-haired man, you know, who happens to somehow be in love with the woman who's 20 years junior to him, there's then the occasional funny flip where, you know, you have the older woman seducing the younger man.
Yeah, but it's always a fun thing that never lasts.
Yes, yes. So what's interesting is that, again, this very important conversation that not only impacts film, but impacts the world at large is, what is the value of a woman who's no longer, you know, 30 and beautiful, which is, again, a big controversial issue in a society that is valuing women for their beauty. It says that, well, after 30, you're a little bit like Christmas cake after Christmas. And what we're trying to say is that, no, a woman has a full life to lead, like Jane Fonda, another actress and artist who has really done wonders in addressing this issue, that at 70 and 80, she's still living on the edge, doing extraordinary things, like men who peak at 70 and 60 and 80. So I think that the fact that Isabel Rossellini has maintained her activity and her creativity is a testament to the fact that, yes, women, like men, have a full shelf life, which means that they should be able to be creative in their fields for 50, 60 years. Plus, but the point is that you notice that she's not able to do this in the mainstream. She's doing it by herself with her own creative community of supporters.
This Friday, so there will be this event on the YouTube channel of Torino Film Festival, celebrating her, celebrating the award. And how did you build up the event? So who is going to be part of it? We have big names.
Yes, we do. Yes, I have to acknowledge again, it's in the spirit of collaboration. When I arrived in Torino, I was introduced to Vahid Roscu, who happens to also be Iranian, in Torino, and he is a film student at Albertina Academy of Arts, and he is a true film buff and film maker himself. It was his idea for us to reach out to David Lynch, and so he was the one who came up with that idea. We called David Lynch. We asked him those bold, funny questions. We asked the other co-stars of Blue Velvet, Kyle MacLachlan and Laura Dern. And of course, we reached out to Guy Maddin and also Antonio Monda, who, as you know, is not only a film guru, he is a professor of film at NYU, and he's also the artistic director of the Rome Film Festival. So we reached out to her special friends. And again, you know, the magic and the irony of Corona is that I called them from my home and had the honor and pleasure of connecting with these very special people, including David Lynch, who was incredibly kind and candid and insightful. I asked him not only about Isabel Rossellini, where he said some very interesting things that you'll all have a chance to hear on Friday. I asked him about the pandemic. And I did because I know David Lynch through Bob Roth, who is the executive director of the David Lynch Foundation, that supports meditation. So I know Bob through having learned transcendental meditation through him. And I thought, you know, there's something about the pandemic, this lockdown, that is a kind of forced meditation. So David Lynch, you know, not only an icon in the arts, but someone who has made meditation available to underserved communities, to people for free, to give us this simple, free mechanism of connecting with ourselves and achieving a level of, you know, physiological calm and good health. I asked him about whether the pandemic and this kind of forced meditation could be something positive. And he said something very, very interesting, which, you know, you'll all get to hear on Friday.
Well, for sure, the pandemic has changed the possibilities of connecting with people. And in different levels, you know, because I just can say you could call David Lynch from your home. You would have never thought about this like a year ago.
But, or he would have been too busy running too around busy.
Exactly.
Doing whatever he's doing.
Exactly.
So I think it's important to always look at things with fresh eyes. You know, I'm 50 and I'm someone who I think the phone, you know, the smartphone that people have glued to their palms like a second skin has harmed us more than it has benefited us. But on the other hand, I have to say, even though I'm a little bit anti, you know, technology, and I think that the most important things in life are the simple ones, which is love, friendship, a walk in nature, a simply prepared meal with people that you love. I'm not really into all of these, you know, augmented realities and you know, having a tracker and an app for everything that you do. I don't really believe in all of that. I think we're losing our own intelligence and our own intuitions if we have to count how many steps we've taken in a day with our Apple phones. But I have to say that I have found this period, let's call it, you know, the Corona period, to be actually very, very different than what I would have expected. I have made very special connections during this time. Again, not only having the chance to have an extensive conversation with David Lynch, which would not have been possible if we weren't in Corona, I also had a chance to get to know Mohsen Makhmalbaf, one of Iran's great filmmakers, because he's everyone's, you know, home. So everyone's reachable.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I think that we have to be artists ourselves as we face this challenge. And we need to not carry the, you know, the old thoughts that we have about things into the present moment. I have to say, I have found the era of Corona to present possibilities that would not have been available to me before. And I have to say, technology, strangely enough, has allowed me to connect to people, not only through Zoom, but on the other hand, you know, because having a human interaction like sitting here with you is so precious. We value it differently. You know, you find yourself sitting, I don't know, in a coffee shop or someplace in public, and we're so cognizant of the blessing of actually being able to be here with you in person, because it's not something that we can take for granted anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I wanted to close this this meeting of today with a question on Isabella, if you can answer, because you talked to her. And one really interesting thing about her, besides all those that we have just said, is that she has a very heavy name to carry, a very heavy family name to carry. But she has not been crushed a bit by it. She was completely free to do what she likes. She was not forced to live by her name or by her father's status or by her mother's status. So did she ever talk about this? Does she know how she managed?
She didn't exactly address this point, but I think what's interesting is I think to find yourself is difficult for all of us, whether you have famous parents or not. I think the fact that she did say something about her father and, you know, the example of being innovative. I mean, let's remember, his films were, you know, avant-garde. He wasn't a mainstream filmmaker. And I think she perhaps learned from him how to be herself. And I guess it's also just who she is. But clearly, as you've said, she hasn't been limited in any way by the burdens of her freedom. Maybe because she started out so famous already at the top, let's say. She's one of the few people who has been able to navigate that fame so easily. So I think that, you know, she's an inspiration to all of us. And also, I think, to girls and women, to see that when you see her in the documentary that we'll screen, you know, she's not made up. Her hair is short, by the way. If I had more time, I did want to ask her about the short hair, because she seems not to be subject to the tyranny of women having to have long hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look at her interviews in the last 10 years, she shows up in comfortable clothing. You know, she's not trying to be sexy. She's not trying to be 18. Her face isn't full of Botox. So she's a woman who is very comfortable in her skin. And like men, is able to live her true self without worrying about aging or wrinkles. So it's a great honor for us to be able to celebrate someone who's not only an icon in the cinematic world, she is a role model to all of us.
Well, thank you very much, Fedra, for this wonderful talk as usual. So we did another, we are going to do another one tomorrow. So, and we closed this, this one, reminding everybody that on Friday on the YouTube channel of the Torino Film Festival, there will be the tribute to Isabella Rossellini. So join in and enjoy it. Thank you very much, Fedra. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.